You're listening to Stateside. I'm April Baer. The bans on public gatherings in Michigan due to the coronavirus outbreak has hit many, many sectors hard. We're feeling for performers of all kinds, including musicians. With bars and concert venues shuttered, some artists are getting creative about reaching fans from an appropriate social distance.
Even if you're quarantined in your homes, so are we. We're here in our basement playing music tonight. So glad to be, so grateful. Grateful we can connect with you in this way.
This is Erin Zindel. Her band, Erin Zindel and the Ragbirds, is exploring what online music can mean beyond Spotify. They've launched a series of concerts called Live from the Birdhouse. Erin's with us now, and so is Elle Lively. She's the executive director of the Michigan Music Alliance. The group has created a Michigan Artist Relief Fund to try to help musicians get through the next few weeks and months. Erin Zindel, you had your first live-streamed concert last weekend. How'd it go?
It was really great. I was amazed at the response. We had my friend Peter Madcat Ruth in my basement, and I have this really amazing team of audio and video engineers, and we were able to put it together so quickly and get the word out so fast, and people tuned in, and I just got so much really, really wonderful feedback from people that I could tell that it really meant a lot to them. And there was just such an awesome chat, you know, during the live stream. People were really commenting and chatting, and
so you could tell they were there with you.
I felt really connected. It was really special.
I can only imagine what it's like as a working artist to hear that announcement coming out of the state capitol that restaurants and bars are going to have to close. I mean, what brought you to the point of thinking, I need to get on this. I need to try to figure out a way for people to hear music right now.
Well, I started getting calls. It was just one morning. It was last Wednesday. We were having band rehearsal, and the calls were just starting to come in, and all the cancellations were starting to pour in. The shows that weekend were canceled. And at first, there was a moment where I felt just despair. It just was like piling on, and it was settling in little by little that this is a very serious problem. This is all of my income for the next who knows how long is just vanished. And I didn't let myself stay in that place of despair for very long, because I could see and sense immediately that it was the path to illness. It's that I was starting to feel exactly the way that's going to make me more susceptible to becoming ill myself if I just am despairing. And I just set my mind to focusing on a solution. You know, I just happen to have this wonderful crew. I happen to have this beautiful space and a lot of friends who are in this same boat with me that are all their gigs are canceled too. And I just started making calls and just doing the work to line up the events, and I ended up lining up, you know, for the first day was that Saturday. It was just a few days after.
Wow.
I heard this news. I lined up Peter Madcat Ruth to play, and then my band played on Sunday, and then my brother's band played on Monday, and I've got artists for the next week. I've got artists every day in my home coming in to perform so that we can keep the music flowing. That's the most important thing. We can't let the music stop.
Elle Lively, what was the reaction when you started telling people that you were going to put together a relief fund to try to help working artists right now?
It was overwhelming right off the bat. We started working on this project on Friday when I realized what was happening and that everything was about to really change for our music community. And on Monday, Local Spins, John Sickvitz, was a huge help and helped us announce the fund. And since then, it's gotten really great traction, not just from the music community, but people who have friends who are musicians and artists and people who understand what is happening in that community right now. And so far, we've raised a lot of money. People have been really supportive, and they're also buying the merchandise that supports and goes towards the fund. So it's been a really positive response from artists and the general public so far.
Erin, how does doing a concert in a streamed format compare with being up on stage in a live venue?
It's a fascinating experiment, actually. You know, you don't get the applause between songs. We don't have a studio audience here. It's just, you know, when I'm on stage performing, the time that I was performing, I could just really, you really have to tune into the larger feeling of the audience out there. You have to know that they're there. You know, we didn't have it set up where I could even see their comments. So it felt, you know, a bit isolated, but that's what we're all experiencing. And you just have to know, you have to just remind yourself that people are out there, that they're listening. And later I was able to actually check the chat and tune into what people were saying and connect in that way and could see them actually saying words to me. But during the performance, you know, it's strange to finish a song and then have just silence or just a few people kind of clapping, just my crew. But yeah, you just kind of get used to that, and just it all, I think everything feels more more vivid right now, as because of this crisis, we're really appreciating things in a different way, and you know the messages of the songs feel more real, like everything feels more important. And so I was just kind of plugging into that to get the energy that I needed to power through the show and to make the music as powerful as I could deliver it.
Right. You know, Elle, the thing that I keep thinking about is there are some acts who are basically bedroom producers, and they're really accustomed to playing to small audiences or maybe even no audiences if they've just, you know, self-produced and self-recorded. And there are some artists like Aaron, you know, who can really, you know, can bring soulfulness and a lot, you know, just because that's kind of the space that their heads normally work in. But man, there's some acts that are such a live thing. They feed off the audience. They feed off the energy of being on stage. You know, hardcore shows, I mean, I just don't even know if that's going to be a thing during the quarantine. Do you think this has the danger to knock out certain kinds of bands?
I feel like some who aren't able to adapt as quickly as the music industry is will definitely have a harder time. My hope is that everyone finds their own niche in the live streaming world and figures it out. If your Facebook looks anything like mine right now, there are hundreds of artists, you know, figuring it out right now and figuring out Patreon and a bunch of different live streaming tools. For the bands that do work off of a crowd almost exclusively and are super high energy, I think we're definitely going to see different kinds of live streaming formats pop up where people can be more involved. But I'm still curious to see what happens. I don't have the answer for that, and my heart goes out to them because I know that is part of the joy of performing, is being able to connect with the audience face to face, and it's hard to replace that feeling.
For sure. Well, that's a great point about the technology, too. Aaron, what exactly do you need to host a streamed show?
Well, you can do it as simply as just holding up your phone, and a lot of people are doing it that way. We have an extremely equipped situation here in my home, which is why I'm offering the space for other performers to do it here, because what we're able to present looks and sounds completely professional. We have a multi-camera live feed. We have a multi-mixed audio that with Mark Allen, who's one of the best sound men in Michigan. I think he's the best, but no offense to my other sound men friends. But anyways, he's amazing, and he's able to like to just produce this. It sounds so polished and professional. And so we're kind of taking it at that level. There's just so many different ways to present this, and you're seeing that as artists are doing these live streams. There's a huge array of quality, you know, difference and the level that they're taking it at. And I'm really grateful. We just happen to have been already practicing this very thing. We've already been working on gearing up and working out the bugs of our live streaming, because we've been live streaming the Ragbirds performances lately. And yeah, so we were ready to do this. We had all the gear, and this It just so happens we're able to do this at a higher quality level, which is much more complex than what most people are doing.
Erin, I ask this knowing that musicians are unfailingly the first whenever there's a big disaster or, you know, something weather-related going on. Musicians are always the ones, you know, who are right out front organizing benefits and giving of their time and their talent. But are people going to be able to pay to do the kinds of things that they need to do, like using, you know, using somebody's studio facility for live streams and stuff like that?
Well, I don't know. You mean like artists paying to use other people's spaces for? Yeah. I haven't seen that situation really come up. I think artists are streaming on their own, and like, you know, I'm not charging people to use my space. I want them to come and play, and we're asking the listeners who are enjoying the concerts to contribute to the artists. So I've also established an ongoing fund for the artists that are playing here in my, mostly for the artists just in my community, within my circle of friends who are all out of work, including the crew, the sound people too. And I've been collecting money, and people have been very generous, and I hope that they will continue to be, because it's one thing to start off with that novelty of like giving on the first couple of days and excitement in the beginning, but we may need a sustained support for who knows how long. So yeah, we're going to need people to be, you know, aware that they, maybe for the first time and in a brand new way, that they value live music enough to support it now and to keep it happening. Because otherwise, you know, we're going to lose it.
Yeah. Elle, it's not just musicians really who are feeling the ripple effect right now, too. There's so many other kinds of people who work behind the scenes in performance. Your company, the music management company that you head up, Crooked Tree Creates, is out there. I just heard from a friend who works for a music licensing company that he's been furloughed. Can you talk a little bit about the ripple effects beyond artists and sound engineers themselves?
Absolutely. You know, there are so many jobs in the music industry that people don't even think about when you think live music performance. There are, on a larger scale, there are wardrobe people, there are motor people, there are light people. I mean, there are so many huge productions traveling around the country right now who are out of work. And then on a local level, too, my company, we have 20 artists that we represent, 5 agents plus myself. And that's how I knew something was happening, was all of a sudden all 20 artists had canceled gigs out for now 2 months.
Wow.
And then on top of that, my 5 agents have no income because that was based off of the gigs and they already put in the work to make those happen. So it's definitely impacting educators in a way too, you know, people who teach piano out of their home or drums or bass. They're not able to have people in their home at this time. So they're also switching to virtual lessons when they can. But the sound engineers and everyone who works behind the scenes, they're also feeling it, and they can't go on and perform on a live stream. So they're having to figure it out on the fly. I also work at Third Coast Recording Studio in Grand Haven, Michigan here. And thankfully, we have enough projects right now where we are able to close the doors to the public and buckle down with what we have and almost play some catch up and get things rolling and bring people in one at a time. But it definitely has slowed down. No one's walking through the door on a daily basis now.
I wonder if this could be the thing that brings back durable brick and mortar sales of music, which has just completely evaporated from the income streams of artists ever since the digital music revolution took over.
I totally agree with you there, because if you want to support an artist that you love who is struggling right now, the best way to do that is to go online and buy their t-shirt, buy their record. And also a lot of artists are coming up with Patreon accounts who really haven't explored that path before. And Patreon is basically a subscription service where you get to be a super fan and get special benefits. And it's a really neat way to get more engaged with the artist. So there are a lot more things where I think we're going back to basics, you know, and I think that can be a good thing.
Yeah. Erin, I've realized as we're doing this interview that amidst everything else that's going on, you're a mom.
And you yes. Have, you have I'm a single mom with my child now out of school, and I have her now 24/7 every day. And it feels like I have two brand new careers. Now I suddenly have a new business, and I'm the booking agent and the promoter of this new business. And also I'm a full-time educator and full-time caretaker for my 6-year-old. So yes, this is absolutely nonstop every minute of my day since this all has happened. I've been working at an incredible pace just to keep up, and it's so important. I've been telling her that I need to, like, that this is so important that you know, when times are troubling, when people are in need, that they need this positive message, that they need the music. And this is my calling right now, and I'm asking, you know, when I have to ask her, like, to be patient with Mama. Mama's really busy right now. Can you just, you know, stay busy doing your game for a minute? Because I gotta get this done. Because people need the music right now, and she understands that, and she gets to witness that firsthand. This is a really critical experience that she's going through right now. That we all are, but that she gets to see it from this little perspective. You know, it's pretty amazing to witness.
Well, ladies, we're going to post some links to the things that you're doing online, and I just can't thank you enough for staying active through all this. It's really astonishing. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Elle Lively is the executive director of the Michigan Music Alliance. The Alliance is planning a virtual music festival for later this month. It's called Spread the Music. Erin Zindel is the band leader for Erin Zindel and the Ragbirds. She's hosting a series of concerts called Live from the Birdhouse. You can find more information about all of this at our website, michiganradio.org. Also, you'll find a Spotify playlist of Michigan artists, something to keep your ears occupied while you're at home.
You are made of light and salt.